It's been a while. Could be that Mashiach will come first and we'll know the end of the story and we'll see how it all fits together. But there's a lot to talk about. And there's a lot to talk about, and the story needs to be understood on multiple levels. And I don't want to run through it without trying at least to understand how it's negated to us on two or three different levels. Even though it takes long, it wouldn't be all the interruptions, but it takes long. It's much harder than learning a Torah where the Torah is written B'Torah's Torah than when it's B'Torah's Maisa. But since the Rebbe told us that through this story we'll all be Mahar B'Tshuva, whoever reads the story, he obviously, as we learned at the very beginning, didn't mean just to run through it. He meant whoever enters into the story very deeply will certainly it has the koich to change our lives. So I don't want to be in any way mevater on that. We have to try hard. So we're going to just review for a second where we're up and where we're holding in the story. He saw the king issue a command to bring the queen. Remember that the Sheni Lamalchus, the hero of the story, the tzaddik, or the one who's aspiring to be a tzaddik, he goes into this big fortress. He comes to this party, a whole big celebration that's taking place over there, and he's allowed in and nobody stops him and nobody asked him any questions. Neither the king nor anyone else asked him any questions. He saw delicacies and fine foods there and he ate. And we spoke about it a little bit a few weeks ago before Yom Tov what that means. We'll talk more about it in Mitzvah Hashem, the taking the delicacies and eating. Then he went to lie down in a corner to see what would happen. We're going to hopefully get to a little bit later tonight. That is also, I believe, is a very, very important sentence in the story, a part of the story, that he went to lie down in a corner to see what would happen. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he saw the king of command to bring the queen, and people went to fetch her, and there was a great uproar as they brought forth the queen. So tumult, the queen was coming in, and the orchestra played and the choir sang, and people set up a throne for the queen and sat her next to the king. She was the lost princess. She was the lost princess. And as soon as the viceroy, the Sheni Lamalchus, saw her, he recognized her. Obviously, that's a turning point in the entire story. The queen looked around and, seeing someone lying in the corner, recognized him. She only recognized him because he was lying in the corner. She wouldn't have recognized him if he was part of the celebration. That's the process of the story. She only recognized him because he was lying in the corner. We'll talk about that in a minute. She stood up from her throne and went over and touched him. "Do you know me?" she asked. "Yes," he replied, "I know you. You are the king's daughter who was lost." He then asked her, "How did you get here?" She replied, "It happened when my father said that the evil one should take me. This is the place of evil." He told her that her father was very grieved and had tried to find her for many years. "How can I get you out of here?" he asked. So let's stop here and talk a little bit. You remember that at the beginning, what happened, what the princess is talking about now, when he asked, "Well, how'd you get here?" You remember that at the beginning, there was a terrible sentence that came out of the mouth of the king, the real king, not this phony, but the real king. Those words that came out, that the lotov, the one that's no good, the loitov should take you, yikach isach. What's the no good should take you, the loitov. If any person, any regular person would be asked, What does that mean to you? Somebody would ask you if you heard some, if there was some curse, God forbid, that said that the no good, the lo tov should take you. What would that mean to you? So for a child, it would mean some monsters or things that he or she read about, or saw pictures of, or animals, or whatever. And for an adult, it could be, you know, the could be that he's coming, like a guy comes to sell you an insurance policy or something, or, you know, whatever your definitions of life type. But usually, it would conjure up in a person's mind something very scary and threatening. Really threatening. The light type should take you away. It sounds scary. The light type should take you away. Tsaras, those light type. God forbid, murder, and sickness. Light type. Each person with his fear of things would tell you what he understands as the light type that takes people away from life. I mean, Achman's teaching is an incredible thing here. I have to follow it through. I'm not going to get to it. I'm not going to finish tonight. This is part of the talk of learning. I mean, Achman's telling us a very simple and very important thing. I mean, Achman's saying that there is a type of lo tov. There's a type of lo tov that we bechlal don't see as being light tov. That's the pshat in the story. There's a type of lo tov. There's something that is inherently defined as light tov, nishgud. But it looks good. It looks good. Adrabba, when we go into this fortress or palace together with the Shein Lamalchus, when we go in there, the impression that we get is tayv ma'ayit. It looks very good. It looks very good. People that we know, including ourselves, our parents and families, have paid fortunes of money to try to recreate such scenes where there's delicious food that's being offered. People are able to stand around and have as much food as they want. And there's terrific music, very nice music playing. And it's a beautiful place. And there are all kinds of choshuva people. In the story, there's tsarim and tsarist ministers and who knows, princes and fitzchais people, choshuva people, army people, all kinds of choshuva people. So, the feeling that we get when we walk into the place, into this event with the Shein L'malchus, is not at all a feeling of light tayv. The picture is one that's tayv ma'ayit. It looks very good. Now the Bas Melech, it seems like the whole place is oblivious to them, right? Everybody's like oblivious to the two of them. The Bas Melech whispers into the ear of the Shein L'malchus, this is the light tayv. We're in the light type. This is the light type. My father sent me to the place of light type, and this is the light type. We're in the place that's light type. But we ask ourselves, and the Shein L'malchus himself was wondering, what's the schlecht? What's bad? What's bad over here? No one was bothering him. Everything was fine. It was beautiful. Great food, great music. Seems like a nice crowd. No one bothered them. What's the schlecht? What's bad? What's the light type over here? Now it's very important to think about the fact that nobody asked him anything going in. Remember? He himself thought it was odd. Nobody stopped him. Nobody asked him anything. This already was enough to make the Shein L'malchus, who was no fool, he's a very smart person, the Shein L'malchus, this was enough to make him suspicious of what's happening over here, since nobody asked him anything. that it could be such an elaborate, beautiful place with such an unbelievable big party, whatever that's going on there, a feast going on, and there's nobody asking any questions about who comes in. And not only that, there's not even an admission fee. I know it sounds silly. You'd think there'd be a booth at the entrance or something. And someone's standing there, you have your ticket, what? You want to come in? This is $100, this is $1,000 space. People pay fortunes of money to go to events and dinners, places, whatever. Goodness. There's nobody that asks him anything, and he walks into the place and doesn't cost anything. There's nobody asking anything. So as an intelligent and intuitive person, the Shein Lamachos feels that something's not right. And you could sense that in the atmosphere of the story, that he feels that there's something strange going on. He's not comfortable here. He feels there's something strange. Because we know that if somebody wants to sell you something, if somebody shows you or talks to you about, shows you pictures of some unbelievable thing, like they used to never sell, you know, old people these parcels of land someplace in Florida, like swamps with alligators, you know, and they showed them the plan, or they had pictures of some beautiful, beautiful place, magnificent homes and parks and everything. So when someone comes to sell you something, and it's really, really, really magnificent, it's beautiful, and they either are asking for very little, or they say to you, you don't have to worry about any money, right? You don't have to worry about any money at all. Let's not talk about money. This happens to me all the time, and they should all be well. These mishalachim come to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael, and it's like the 28th of the day, you know, on a Sunday, and the fellow says to me, I'm not here to talk about money. So then I know it's very, very dangerous. Right? The ones that say, I know, you have a little bit for something. So we could, you know, take some minutes. When the one says, I'm not here to talk about money, so what do you hear? You want to talk about politics? You want to talk about Torah? You want to talk about the ages? What are you talking about? You know, I'm not here to talk about money. When someone comes to you with something, and he says this is the most unbelievable thing, it's the most beautiful thing, and it's either very cheap, or especially if it's chinam mamish, if it's free, everybody knows that it's never poshut, that that's going to cost you a lot at some point in the future. It's just a matter of time. It's going to cost you a lot. When there's no admission fee, and it's something big, or there's no price for something, and no one's talking, and the guy says, don't worry about it, and they just let you in, and everything's okay, it means that it's going to be light type later on. Not now, but later on it's going to be light type. And what's interesting is, you know, the Zohar Kaddish tells us that there are different shemes of Tumah. There are different names in the world of Tumah. Words that are code words for Tumah, for impurity. Many of them we know. But one of the most interesting ones is that one of the shemes of Tumah is a word in Hebrew. Ches nun mem. What does that spell? Chinam, which is a very popular word by us. Chinam means free, it means for nothing. Chinam is a shem tuma in the Zohar Kaddish, because chinam always means a mitzias of shaker. It means a mitzias that's not mitzias like we're learning about during the winter. It's always an idiom of shaker. When we were kids, they had in the comic books, they had advertisements. I once mentioned this a few months ago. They had advertisements that you can get like 800 stamps, 1,000 stamps from all these exotic places for nothing. Chinam. And all you had to do was to cut out that little thing and to put it into an envelope. And I had to, you know, to get a stamp for my parents. But you know, I had to ask Rishus, you know, for my to do that. My father always said, absolutely not. if you want stamps, so you like to collect some stamps, because there was a little time that I liked that. You like, then we'll go and pick out some stamps. I'll get you some stamps. You're not sending to these people. And I told my father, it's a big thing, free. It's like one time without rishus, there was one of these things with books. You know, they have this book of the month. So I didn't ask rishus, and they were offering this set of books on philosophy that I wanted. And if you join the club, it's free. And they give you this big set of books. And what I got into it, and that whole thing there, it's an unbelievable thing. And then I had to go back to the place. My father was so upset with me. He says, "You wrote a letter to one of these lawyers or something, because it came in a box, and then they all kinds of chiyuvim. You know, afterwards chiyuvim they sent three times a month, and if you didn't send it back, they charged you. You know, you had to go to the post office, make boxes up, and send it back. And it was such a crazy thing, you know." So my father had a shita that chinam is a shem tumma. I'll hear my father. Chinam is a shem tumma. If it's free, if they tell you it's free, stay away from it. If it's free, stay away from it, because the word chinam means that you are about to be the victim of a scam. You know what it means, a scam? That's what it means. Someone tells you, I have a job for you here. We're going to give you $250,000. What do I have to do? Nothing. What do you mean? No, just show up. Well, what do I have to do? Nothing. What if I don't sell anything? That's not. If you do nothing, you'll make your $250,000. So, what's in for you? Nothing. So what are you doing? You look like a nice guy, and I want to help you out. It's a scam. Nice people are falling for these things all the time. And the simon of that is that word chinam, that metzias of sheker, because behind that word chinam, behind that word is somebody or something that's trying to pull you in. So the Shein Lamalchus is a very smart person. He's a clever person. He didn't get to be the Shein Lamalchus stam. He's a very smart person. So Sheila Malchus is asking himself, what's going on over here? What's going on? He walks in, and how come they let me into this place, chinam? Okay, no interrogation, no charge, nothing. Chinam. So he's wondering, as he walks into the place, what's going on over here? Rabbi Nachman is teaching us that this place, this chinamdike place, this free constantly on the lawn, whatever it is that's going on, this free event is the place of Loitaif. It's the world of Loitaif. The world of Loitaif on the outside looks too good to be true. Of course, it's a mashal of this world. That's what Rabbi Nachman's talking about, our lives. On the outside, it looks just too good to be true. I can't believe this is like my lucky day. I got right in. Nobody said a word. I didn't have to pay anything. Free food. Free music. Nice people. This is just too good to be true. And it's true. It's too good to be true because it's not true. It is too good to be. People always say that, but then they end up buying the place in Florida anyway. It's too good to be true. You're right. It's a sheker. It's not true. So that, of course, is what Rabbi Nachman is telling us. Like he always said to the Chassidim, and we learned this last time, we saw the Sikhs around, don't let the world fool you. Don't be shaitan. Don't let the world fool you. The light of the most dangerous addition of the light tov is when it's disguised as tov ma'id. The most dangerous version of light tov is when it appears to be tov ma'id, when it appears to be very good. Who's the most dangerous terrorist? Hashem should take care of all of them. Take care in the right way, as Hashem. Who's the most dangerous terrorist? not some guy that's walking around with a keffiyeh on his head and with grenades across his. That's not the most dangerous terrorist. Guy that walks around like that, they have him in a minute. You imagine a guy walks out of a car in Yerushalayim someplace, some Arab with a headdress and with the loaded up with ammunition. That's the end. He's not going to hurt anybody. He's finished. The second that he goes, he's going to get killed in a second. The most dangerous terrorist is the one who somehow is dressed up, God forbid, like a chayal, like a soldier, like a Jewish soldier, dressed up like a yid. That's the most dangerous terrorist. When the loy toiv is disguised as toiv, that's when it's most dangerous. And the loy toiv is dressed up as toiv. And Rabbi Nachman is coming here, this part of the story, to warn each and every one of us to be careful, and he's also going to teach us, as we'll see in a few minutes, how to identify, to pull off the mask, how to identify the loy toiv, the nishgut, or the nishguta, the bad one, the evil one, the loy toiv, that's disguised as toiv, that's disguised as good. Because this whole world, Rabbi Nachman, of course, is telling us, this whole world is the place of light toif. That doesn't mean to say that our learning and our davening, chasson ha-mitzvus, and our families, but it means the olam hazedek part of this world is light toif. But it's it could be for many people a very, very nice place. It looks like a nice place. And it's nice, good food, and nice social life, and good music. But like the Musa Swami used to say, it's a very expensive hotel. It's a hotel. And there are a lot of nice things going on. It's a big party. This world's a big party. Now the Shem Lamalchus comes into this place, the Olam Hazeh, into this party, into the world, which looks like it has a lot of tayv in it. The children's eyes open up at a very early age these days. Oh, there's a lot of stuff over here in the world. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of tayv. The Shem Lamalchus, remember, is the person who's looking for his neshama. He's looking for the Bas Melech. And he doesn't want to be deceived or tricked. And therefore he feels that all of the pleasures of this world, all the pleasures that are being thrown at me as I'm growing up, from the time that I'm a kid, that everything's being thrown at me, all these pleasures, all the hanois of this world, physical pleasures of the world that are being thrown at me. They're giving it to me chinam. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. Meaning, there's a lot of pleasure. I didn't notice anybody charging admission at the entrance. And I'm beginning to get nervous that I'm going to have to pay a lot for this at some point. It's going to cost me. They don't charge you up front. They just tell you, have a good time. Don't worry about it. Just have a good time. This is my credit card. Don't worry. What are you talking about? You'll be Masech Das for having a nice time. Just have a good time. Just enjoy. And it's... You don't have to worry about it. We'll talk later on. We'll be taken care of. Don't worry about it. The Shem Lamalchus intuitively feels, I'm in great danger. I'm in a dangerous place. That's, of course, confirmed by the Bas Melech. But he feels when he walks in, this isn't good. Something's not right over here. But at the same time, this is... The Oymik of it, Rabbi Nachman is teaching us, at the same time, he feels that in this place I'm going to find my neshama. In this dangerous place, in this mysterious, dangerous place that looks so good on the outside, is too good to be true. That somehow, in this place, where I'm in great danger, davka in this place of great danger, I'll be able to find myself. Lahavdil Alf Alf Avdolis, all good adventure movies run like that, don't they? In the dangerous place, that's where the most choshev things can, like, you know, unfold for that person's life. You know, in all of the movies, like when some adventure would start, and these people would have to end up going together to some place. So there are a few things that you knew for sure. First of all, the person that he'd meet that he'd have to go with was never going to be a 72-year-old almana. You understand? Never. It was always going to be a 27-year-old, like, you know, a glamorous movie star. That was for sure. Even though it didn't usually fit like what the Indian was. But it was a mazel. It was always a mazel. These guys always had a mazel. In real life, it's never like that. But there was a mazel that these guys had, that when they had to go on this adventure into some scary, scary thing, kingdom or place or whatever, it was always such an Indian. It was never like another guy. Or if there was another guy, then it was, you know, also with girls. But then, and they go into some place, and it's unbelievable, scary, scary, scary things going on. But in that place, like, they fall in love. And they, you know, they discover some gewaldige treasure. And they live happily ever after. Right? The Sheni L'Malchus feels, I'm in a place of great danger, but great opportunity. And they go together. It's true. When all the movies and stories, when they picked up on that, is because it's true. That itself is true. This world is a world of light taif, but there's no place better. That's why Hashem Yisbarach sent us into this place of light taif, because only here can we become be'emes taif. Be'emes, we can become taif. Only in the place of light taif. And our neshamas, when they were in the world of truth, they weren't really, really taif. They're very pure. But as far as the potential of what a neshama can be and what it could accomplish, it wasn't be'emes taif. It's only in the place of light taif. In a dangerous place that looks like it's good and it's too good to be true, and you could fall in and fall for it and give in to the scam. And the Sheni L'Malchus is very uneasy and uncomfortable. He doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't go to hang out. We'll talk about that in a second. Stavka over here, but at the same time, in the end, he's going to find the Bas Malach. That means his neshama. So he's cautious and he's suspicious. And it said that, as we just saw, so he had some food and he ate, and he went to lie down in a corner to see what would happen. And he went to lie down in a corner to see what would happen. This is itself, as I said before, a wondrous thing. And that is also a very big turning point in the whole mahalach of how things go. You know that a person comes into a party. He goes into a party. He doesn't really know anybody. The fact that he's standing, I mean, there's a lot of people there, and the people talking to different people, and a lot of people that are sitting down at tables all over the place. This person who walks in, he's not sitting down anywhere. He's not sitting down. First, he's standing around when he walks in, and he's eating some things. It's clear he doesn't feel that he's part of this feast, of this party. He's a stranger here. He doesn't know the people here. And when you come someplace, the person comes to a party, so maybe some nice people that are comfortable there and that are from the place, they might notice you and you look a little bit uncomfortable, and they might say, come on, you know, you want to sit down with us? Why don't you join us? What's your name? Right? Now, schmooze with you a little bit. They're friendly people. That's what they do. What they're saying, in effect, is, join us. That they're inviting you to join them and to become part of what's happening in this place. When they invite you to sit down, they're inviting you, they're enjoining you to become part of that. As long as you don't join any of the chevra there, by either standing on the side or as Shane the Machlis did, he went on the side and he went into a corner. He went to lie down, strange, and he went to lie down in a corner to see what would happen. It's very clear that he refuses to join. He does not join. He's not mitzarev. He refuses to immerse himself in the party, to become part of the mitzias. But instead, the Shein Malchus decides, I'm going to go in a corner. I'm not going to join this. I'm going to go in a corner, and I'm going to watch and try to figure this out, to see what happens here. Of course, Rabbi Nachman is telling us how we're supposed to live in the world. We'll see that in a few minutes. That's how we're supposed to live in the world. So he sees, he's watching, and he sees that they bring the queen in. The reason that he notices that, because he's on the side in the corner watching everything, there's no question, just like at any party of this type, a good amount of the oil is already either drunk or someplace in the outside or in the back with somebody doing who knows what, and it's already person comes in, person leaves. It's too much of a tumult, and people are in their own inyan. But our hero is different from everybody else at the party, except for the queen, of course. He's different because he's not in it. He's not into it. He's in a corner, and he's observing it. And in the corner observing, because he's observing and because he's not a participant, he's not a full-footed, he tasted something, but he's not invested in this. And he's suspicious of the whole thing. It's too good to be true. He's watching it carefully and thinking. He's not like the other participants who are completely in their food or completely in their conversations or completely in their drinking and partying and laughing. Because you know that when a person is in that state, when a person really gets himself into this world, the main question he has is not, is that the queen coming in? That's not the main question. The main question is, how come that guy standing next to me has more on his plate than I have? That's the main question. How come that guy has more on his plate than me? I worked hard, I did so much, and that guy has more on his plate than I have. It's the main thing that could mess up your time at the party. But whether they bring in the queen or they don't bring in the queen, that's not really nogei at this point for most of the participants. Because the participants in the Olam Hazeh, in the big party, in the big feast, they're so completely swimming in their own soup bowl that the only thing that bothers them is maybe the person next to them, what they have on their plate. But so, the person down the block, the person next door, and then Irishkeit, silly conversations in Irishkeit that goes on, what's important in the world, and so on and so forth. But the Sheini Lamelech, of course, he takes note. He notices everything that's going on because he's in the corner, and because he's in the corner, he's watching the world. He's not experiencing it. He's watching it, and he's in this world. There's something amazing that's happening. What he's noticing is that here you have the king of Loit Toiv. He's picking up on this. This is a place of evil. It's not good. It's the place of Chinam, of Tumah. But right next to the king is sitting the Bas Melech, HaKadosh Shavat Tahira, the Neshama, Shabbos, Emunah, Knesset Yisrael, Yushalayim, sitting right next to that king. Right next to him. In other words, the light Taiv and the Taiv are sitting next to each other. Because that's how the Baruch Shalom made the world. And the Shema Malchus understands that the Taiv, all that is holy and pure, is captured, is under the control of the light Taiv. In other words, the Taiv appears to be enslaved or captured by the light Taiv. Because he knows that's the Bas Melech. He recognizes her. That's Taiv. And the king is the king of light Taiv. And the Shein L'Machas, the Yid, the Tzaddik, the one who's looking for the truth for his neshama, is frightened. Because what that means to him is that in this world, the light Taiv has access and control over Taiv. Can use emotions, feelings, thoughts, literature, books, can use the Kaiches of Taiv for his own evil purposes. The light Taiv can appear to have control over the Taiv. And the neshama of Klal Yisrael is somehow a prisoner of this party of light Taiv, of Olam Hazeh. And all the Taiv of the world, all the Taiv, which is Knesset Yisrael, which is the princess, is being played around with and toyed with and manipulated by the light Taiv. And all the chen, all the beauty of Knesset Yisrael is in the hands of the light Taiv. Again, the reason that the Shein L'Machlis notices this and understands this, is beginning to understand it, is because he's in a corner watching. He didn't let himself get swept away. He's watching it. We're going to see that the watching is his bitterness and his bindingness. That's what it means in this world. He's watching. And he notices that the princess, who he knows the princess from the palace. He knew her since she was a little girl. She's not smiling. She's not happy. She's not into it either. She's not into it. This is a big thing, and everybody's laughing and waving their drinks and singing and having a great time, and the king is there. But he sees that maybe she's being polite. She doesn't fit in here, and she's not happy to be here. She's not smiling. Any person that's already lost in the free party, in the Mesibah Shalchinim, in all of the rash, in all of the noise of the taivus of this world, of the desires of this world, wouldn't notice any of this at all. Wouldn't notice the broken heart of the Shrima. Wouldn't notice that the Jewish people are not really happy being this way. Wouldn't notice it. Wouldn't take note of it. He'd be lost in the food. He's lost in the food. He's lost in the music. So after a minute, this queen, what's going on with the queen? It's not important. You could have even Jews now. I mean, you're talking about people of Shem HaTorah Mitzvah. I'm talking about people in our religion. It's not their fault. Shem HaTorah Mitzvah. He recognizes the queen. That is the most unbelievable, the Bas Melech, the princess. That's the most unbelievable moment of a person's life. That is the most unbelievable moment of a person's life. That moment when the person sees clearly, without any doubt at all, that I have in me a neshama. That I have a chelak elokam yimal mamish inside of me. And we're learning from the story that the only way that you could ever notice that and find the Bas Melech is if you are living in a corner of the world and watching. Not if you're participating, but only if you're in a corner watching. It doesn't mean that you're not eating and drinking. You have something to eat and drink. Doesn't mean that you're not living. It means you're not going to work. Doesn't mean you're not sleeping, and so on. Getting married, and so on. There's Hashem. If you're a person that's living in a corner by the party of this world, then wherever you are in the world, you'll be able to notice your neshama. You'll be able to take note of the Bas Melech. You'll see the Bas Melech. You'll see all that's you'll see the depths of who you are and what's inside of you. And you'll see, like we're learning about in the Shabbos, you'll see the ani, the I of who I am. So in Chabad Chassidus, being in the corner and watching is called Hizboinenus, meditation. And in Breslov Chassidus, it's called Hizboinenus, being alone and talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what Rabbi Nachman is teaching us here. Every single day of your life, you must at least take a few minutes and go in a corner by yourself. And to look and to study from a distance what's happening to you, who you are. Not in the party, you understand? A spectator, separated from the party. Take yourself to a corner. Like I mentioned a few times, like it says in Haggadah, Tsei Ulamad. But the worker said, Tsei Ulamad, Mabikesh Lovin Arami. Tsei Ulamad, go out and learn what Lovin wanted to do to you. Tsei Ulamad. Hashem Shabbat took Avraham Avinu higher above the world to a corner so he could be able to look and to see objectively. What is this? What's going on here? What is this big party? What is this Olam Hazeh? What is this thing here? It's Lech Lecha Me'atzich Malach V'Savicha, to go away. And to study your life, the life that you're living and that's around you, from outside. Who are you and what's happening to you? Ask yourself, what does God want of me? What's my tachlis in the world? Anybody who does that will eventually meet the Bas Melech, will live with the Bas Melech and that awareness of the neshama that's in this place of Loitoiv, but to feel the presence of the neshama in oneself. The kids say you'll be able to notice the difference between the terrorist and the chayal, between your enemy and your friend. You'll be able to see the truth. But only if you live this life in a corner, or taking time out each day to go separate yourself like the Shemach and to watch from a corner, then you'll be able to see the Loit Toiv is disguised as Toiv, and what's really Loit Toiv, and what's really Toiv, only through his Bainadus and his Bainadus, what's really Toiv, what's really Loit Toiv. That's not a chayal, that's not my friend, that's not a Yid. That's a terrorist that's dressed up as a Yid. That's dangerous. If you're in the party, you don't see. But if you go and you have a few minutes, and just to end with 30 seconds, and of course what happens is that their eyes meet. That's also the most beautiful moment here when they meet. And it's the Bas Melech, and the Bas Melech to the Bas Melech, it's Poshet, I'm stuck in this place. That's why he's not smiling. And Shama is miserable in this place. And she's not involved at all in what's going on. She's just looking around for the tzaddik, for the yid. And then when their eyes meet, they recognize each other. That only happens if you're watching from the side. If you're in it, you never see the Bas Melech. It's too much of a tumult. The eating, the drinking, the fun, the life, college, work, family, 120, you drop dead. Finished, Gandhi. You never want to spot. Where? Who had? But if you're a person, if you're living in his bite of this, side. So then he goes over to the Bas Melech, and they look at each other. Yeah, you recognize me? Of course. You know me? I know you. We're the only two people here that are in the corner, you understand? We're the only two here that are not in it. We're the only two here that are watching it. And then what happens? It says that they don't just see each other, she touches him. It's unusual that Rabbi Nachman would say that in the story, even in the Lavush.
She takes the initiative.
Right. It's an amazing thing. We have to pick up a lot on this. We've talked already late. There's no time. There's no time. But that touching we'll see means it's not enough just to take note of the Bas Melech. You have to be touched by the Bas Melech. You have to be touched. Your life has to be turned around by that encounter. We'll talk about that in the show next time. Okay. Sure.